One thing it is to sing praises unto God. Welcome, everyone. We're glad you're here. And we hope and trust that as we study the lesson today, the good will be accomplished to the glory of God. I appreciate those who read the scriptures, who had prayer, led the singing, and did everything that we're supposed to be doing. We're glad that you're here. There's one comment I want to make, though, and that is about Sebastian. You notice I had them to put on the board up there about sending a card to Sebastian. Last week, he asked me a question. That question was this: is the church at O'Neill a loving, caring congregation? And I said, I think it is. And I believe it is. I believe people love each other, don't you? I believe that people care for each other, don't you? And truly, I'm glad I could say that I believe that it is. He said, well, where I'm tending, as you know, I taught him on the computer, got together in a discussion, Bible discussion, and it finally led him to obey the gospel of Christ. So he's been attending the Church of Christ in Panola out there in that area for, I guess, I don't know how many years now. But he told me, he said, I am so discouraged with the Church of Christ. He said, I'm thinking about leaving it. His daddy was real sick. His daddy was so sick that didn't feel like that he was going to live. And last Wednesday night he went forward and making his life right with God himself and making a specific request of that congregation, which I guess maybe has 50 people. And he said he made the request, asked them to pray for his daddy. And he said the one who led in the prayer didn't even mention his father. And afterwards, hardly anyone even said anything to him about his dad. He went home. He was so disgusted, discouraged. And he said to me, after his daddy died the next day, Guy, I think I'm going to quit the Church of Christ. I talked to him. Of course, I know you can get down. All of us do. Sometimes others let us down, but sometimes we let others down too. All we need to do is to pray for each other, and I want you to pray for him. And if it's at all possible, send him a sympathy card. We'll get the address to you. And I say that from the bottom of my heart. I want him not to leave the Lord. He has studied. I wish you could talk to him. So many scriptures that he could quote to you. He knows the Bible so much better now. But you know, unless brethren really up encourage you, you do get discouraged. So remember him and his family during this time. Matt read to us this morning from James chapter 1. And in this particular section of the book of James chapter 1, one of the things that's emphasized is the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. So I'm preaching something today that is really applicable and helpful to everybody in that the Word of God can do something for you if you allow it. Not only does James tell us about that, he explains that if you hear the Word of the Lord, you're like hearing and you turn away and you don't do it. You're like a man looking at his in the mirror. A man looking in a mirror and he sees himself. But what does he do? He goes away, he forgetteth what manner of man that he was. But you need to remember, James says, that the man that's going to be blessed, the man that's going to be acceptable to God, is the man that looks, examines himself, makes all kinds of adjustments to himself whenever he sees that's wrong, and then walks with God. He talks about vain religion. It's vain if you seem to be religious and bridles not your tongue, but you deceive your own heart. Well, your religion is useless. It's vain, James says. You want to know what pure religion is? All right, here it is. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father is this. You help to the best of your ability those who are fatherless and widows in their affliction. And you keep yourself unspotted from the world. I'm talking to you this morning about examining yourself. look at yourself. What do you see? God sees you. You see yourself to scrutinize, try to examine, to discern, try, prove. Refers to a saying or trying metals by the powerful action of it goes through a test. That's what I want us to take. That's the test I want you and I to engage in this morning together. In our physical lives, you're constantly observing if there's anything like a bump that comes up or a lump. If there's a spot that doesn't go away, you look at that, and what do? You want help, so you go to a doctor. You go to a doctor, and the doctor examines it, and he will tell you whether or not he believes that the thing that you have is something serious or is not serious. My friend, I tell you what, you want to constantly do that with your physical body, because if something appears and you don't take care of it, it could actually lead to your own death. But what about our spiritual lives? Don't we have also concern for ourselves as we look at ourselves through the mirror of God? And then anything that is not right, we're ready to make the change, because we have examined ourselves. We have had a spiritual checkup. We got to know the truth from the false. You remember when John writes in 1 John 5. John says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Therefore, little children, keep yourselves from idols. That's what we're doing. We're examining ourselves. We're looking at ourselves through the mirror of the Word of God. What do you need to change? What do I need to change? The Lord knows, do you? We won't make a change unless we do what? Unless we're honest with ourselves, look at ourselves, and then make that change and do it immediately. First of all, when you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's one thing that should be evident. There ought to be a change in your life. In 1 John 1, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we're liars. We lie. That's what he says. And we do not practice the truth. We don't want our children to tell a lie. Then we must not either. And if we say that we have fellowship with God, that we're faithful serving the Lord, that our lives are evident, then it'll be shown. But if we don't, then it's really a lie. No wonder in 1 John 2:15, he says, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. Are you doing that? Am I doing it? The world is not the thing that we ought to be so concerned about. And he says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Listen again. John tells us in John 3, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. When a person comes to Christ, there should be a change of desire and motivation. You're putting Christ first. You want to do what Christ wants you to do, because you know Matthew 6 verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. When Paul was converted, he really was changed. He really did devote himself to doing what God wanted him to do, and so must we. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. That's you, that's me. He came for the purpose of doing what? To save us. So we must quit sinning. We must turn away from sinning. Turn away from the love of the world. No wonder in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, Peter says, but you're a chosen generation. Isn't that wonderful? God has chosen us. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. People can see that you are different, that you and I are not walking the way of the world. We're letting our light shine, Matthew 5:16. Why? Because of our connection with the Son of God. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In this song, The Change, you may have heard it, by Stephen Curtis Chapman. Chapman talks about having all of the Christian gadgets. People do this. They'll have t-shirts, bracelets, Bible magnets, bumper stickers. But the question is, what about the change? If you're saying you're a Christian today, are you? Are you showing that? When a believer is a new creation, there will be a change. Do people see you and I differently now that we are seeking, doing nothing but following King Jesus? In 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, it is very clear that God wants you and I to obey Him in everything. In Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered to be made perfect. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He's not going to save you if you don't obey him. You won't be saved. Look at yourself. Examine yourself. I won't be saved. There's the mirror, and we're looking to the spiritual mirror, and we're looking what? We're looking at ourselves. We're not judging others. Right now, we're looking at ourselves. We're judging ourselves. And what do we see? What does God see? And by this, we know that we have obeyed Him, known Him, rather, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I have known Him and does not keep His commandments, he's a liar. That's the Bible. The Bible says what? Here's the man that said, I know the Lord. Look, I have this t-shirt on. It tells you that I'm a Christian. You don't need a t-shirt. You don't need a bracelet. All you need to do is live right. All I need to do is do right. Why? Because by doing right, we know we're serving Him who is right. He who says, I have known Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word truly is in this one, the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. In 1 John 3:24, now he who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in us. Look at this statement and see if you agree with it. I've reflected upon it. It means something to me. Listen to it. The Bible recognizes no faith that does not lead to obedience. You can talk all day about believing, but if you don't show it, it's not going to do you any good. Nor does it recognize any obedience that does not spring from faith. You believe, then you obey. The two are at opposite sides of the same coin. It's evident, therefore, is it evident that you and I are steadfast? In 1 John chapter 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor, but you won't have that labor. I won't have that labor. We won't be saved. Why? Because we will not do what God tells us to do. We hear it and we go away and we forget what manner of man that we are. I want my children to know God, don't you? I want them to know that they've got a daddy and they've got a grandfather. Someone that believes and is practicing what God is telling you to do, that they can see it, and someday, hopefully they'll walk in the way that you're walking because they're following you. They went out from us, John said, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Ah, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more to the perfect day. And I thought this was an interesting statement. Listen to what it says. a Kansas City church's slogan. Wake up, sing up, preach up, pray up, pay up, never give up, or let up, or back up, or shut up, until the cause of Christ in this church and in this world is built up. Are you ready? We can do it if each of us will look and we'll do what God tells us to do. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed on Him, if you continue My word, you are My disciples indeed. Do you show evidence in your life that you're not ashamed of the Lord and His way? I asked Troy a while ago about that passage in Romans 1, verse 16 in the class, where Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Are you? Look at yourself in the mirror. Do you talk to others about Jesus Christ? About the church of Christ? The church that you're a member of? That you want your children to be members of? That you want them to follow the way that you're going? You're either for Him or you're against Him. The Bible tells us in 1 John 2:23, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. If you deny Jesus, forget about thinking about you got God. Because it's clear, the Bible says you don't. You don't have the Father. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. In Matthew 10, therefore whoever confesses Me before men, him will I also confess before My Father which is in heaven. But whoever denies Me before men, him will I also deny before My Father which is in heaven. What about me? What about you? There is no such thing as a secret disciple of Jesus Christ. By that I mean, you're either for Him and you're standing up for Him. When people speak against Him, you stick up for the truth because you are a follower of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 10, he who does not take his cross and follow after Me, he's not worthy of Me, Jesus said. Don't cry out to Christ in the day of judgment and say, I this and I the other. When you're looking at yourself and you know that you're not right with Him, but you won't do a thing about it. You won't make any change. Friend, if you're not standing firmly for Jesus during good times, will you and I, what would we do with Jesus under harsh persecution? I suggest to you, we need to have evidence to the world that we're living a holy life. When John writes in 1 John 3, 6-9, if you don't love your brother, you're not displaying that. I realize that all of us are guilty of sin, but you cannot continually engage in something that is wrong without any remorse, conviction, chastisement, or repentance. And if you think you can, it might be a good thing for you to look into that mirror again and look at the profession that you are professing. In Hebrews chapter 12, the Lord loves. The Bible says, whom the Lord loves, He chastens. And scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? What He is saying is this, simply, hey, listen, God loves you. And He's going to chastise you if you get out of the way. And just remember that what God is doing is best for you. But if you are without chastising, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. I thought this was an interesting thing that I found. A man was asked if he thought the Lord loved him. His reply, I know the Lord loves me. He says in His book that He chastises those that He loves. And He chastises me so much, I know He has to love me a whole lot. You, me, how do we look to ourselves? And how do we look to God? Don't be deceived by the world. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, that you're only, if you work and walk after the things that are unrighteous, you cannot have that hope of heaven. What evidence are you showing by your fellowship in the Lord? If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us all from sin. In 1 John 3:14 and 15, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. How much love is there in a congregation when they don't even extend sympathy to a brother who's barely a new brother? No care. No love. Is that the way you're described? Am I described that way? Don't care. What are we doing? Oh, my friend, what is the greatest mark of a person who really claims to be a Christian? I want to suggest to you, my word is unselfishness. Forget yourself. Be busy. Did you know the other day when Keneath was operated on, I counted some 25 people. And many of you would have been there if you hadn't had to work. I believe there were 25 people there sitting, praying for that dear, sweet Christian. Isn't that one? Does that count? Oh, boy. That rings out to the world what? After they came out and gave us the good news and I led in a prayer of thanksgiving, I'll tell you what, I prayed for all those others who had families there that were undergoing. And boy, you ought to have seen the reaction. People were thanking us. I want to tell you, brethren, when you were really doing the things of God, concerned about the things of God, you love those things. You do them. I love thy kingdom, Lord. Do you? Do we? Let me ask you some questions someone asked. Are you faithful in regular fellowship with God's people in the local church? Are you able to skip church attendance for weeks at a time without any conviction over it? Do you look forward to fellowship with on-fire Christians? A backslidden Christian may stay out of church and away from other believers, but it is an absolute certainty that the true believer will never be comfortable remaining outside of God's house. For he knows something. What does he know? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as it is the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. By this, by what? By this we know that we abide in Him because He has given us of His Spirit, 1 John 4:13. 1 John 3, verse 24. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. Romans 8, verses 14 and 16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Looking in, examining ourselves, what do we see? The Bible says the Spirit tells you what a child of God is supposed to be like. Does that describe you? Does that describe me? In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the Spirit bears witness through the fruit that is produced in our lives. In Matthew 7, verse 20, Jesus makes it very clear, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. I love to sing this song, but I feel guilty a lot of times when I sing it. You know what it's saying? How many of us could simply say, I have surrendered all to Him? Can you say that today? Have I? Can I? No. Why? A lot of us not putting Him first. A lot of us are not really serious. We know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Sometimes people will object. Oh, the law of the Lord is so hard. It's too difficult. Not the child of God. Not the child of God that's looked into that mirror. He sees himself. He knows that God sees him. And he's ready now to even meet the Lord because he has confessed with his life. He has done what he could because he loves the Lord. Someone said, for the wise have always known that no one can make much of his life until self-searching has become a regular habit, until he's able to admit and accept what he finds, until he patiently and persistently tries to correct what is wrong. He's constantly in doing what? Investigating, examining himself because he wants to be right with the Master. what others have said. The only way to make a machine work again is to break it down. And boy, I've got a 10-year-old grandson who loves to do that. And if something's not working right and he can break that thing down and get it working right, he is so rejoicing. Let me suggest to you that we fix our lives. Break it down. Screw out the bolts out of your life. Examine and work on yourself. Fix your life again and get going serving the Lord. And let the world see the fruit that you are bearing because you're in Jesus Christ. Examining yourself. Just when we eat the Lord's Supper in a few moments, examine yourself. Just when a man thinks he's something he ought to make sure that he is, examine yourself. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Lamentations 3 and verse 40. Remember the psalmist David when Nathan the prophet came to him? David was wrong. And he heard the story of Nathan. And after he heard the story, David was so mad. He said, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die and restore fourfold. And Nathan said, thou art the man. David, you're the man. It never left this man. Ah, David cried unto God, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. And you'll never say that until you see yourself as you really are. And I won't either. Examine yourself. Yes, because of the grace given to us. But the great condition is that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Later on, David cried unto God for help. In Acts 17:30 and 31, the times of the signals, God winked at. But now He commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Be careful for nothing, Paul says. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. What requests would you make today of God? Are you really willing to ask His help? The psalmist says in Psalms 119, verse 15, I thought on my ways. I meditated upon them. I looked at myself in that mirror, and then I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Have you thought on your ways? If we keep living the way we're living, will we go to heaven or be lost in hell? I'm looking at myself. I hope you're looking at yourself. Gird up your mind. Be sober. What you're doing with your mouth and with your heart? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In conclusion, here's some questions for you. Do I ever deliberately miss the service Sunday or Wednesday? Do it deliberately, willfully? Could be there, but I just choose not to. Do I make an effort to check on my brothers or sisters who were absent from the assembly to let them know that I really miss them? How many of us have to put a big question mark there? Do I visit and send a note of encouragement to a weak brother or sister? I hope my good brother, Sebastian, hears from all of you or many of you. Let him know there are Christians in this world that do care for you. Do I visit or show concern for the sick? When going on a vacation, do I inquire concerning places to worship or do I just skip Bible classes and Sunday night services while I'm away on vacation? Do I allow my children to attend dances, to go to other places of sin? Leave the house immodestly dressed and thus put my stamp of approval on such sin? Do I check my children's lessons to make sure they completed them and do I question them to make sure they are learning divine truth? Do I miss church services with some physical ailment and then go to work on Monday or engage in some other activity with that same ailment? Do I speak words of encouragement to our elders and let them know that I appreciate them and what they do? Do I tell others what should be done but not do it myself? That's like a preacher me telling you to do something that I won't even do. Do I find myself regularly complaining about what's wrong with the congregation and simply overlooking what is being accomplished? Ah, do I look carefully for ways to serve God myself and to help everybody that I possibly can? Do I pray, and I pray daily? And do I study God's Word often and not excuse myself that I'm too tired after working all day? Examining yourself. What did James say? James says that if you behold yourself in the natural glass and then you go your way, you forget what manner of man that he is. What good then is an examination? The good of it is you pay attention to it if it's a physical one. If they say there's a spot, there's a lump, there's something that needs to be taken care of, the first thing probably you'll ask the doctor, what must I do to clear this up? And you're told, are we willing to spiritually look at ourselves and examine ourselves, because we're looking at us, not others, and make the adjustments that we must make to be acceptable to the King that we're serving. Jesus Christ died for every one of you in this building, for every one of us. He died for everybody. He took away sin by doing what? By giving Himself. And we're going to observe that just in a few minutes. He loves you. But He said, don't call me Lord if you're not willing to do what I tell you to do. May we help. May each of us be helped to truly look at ourselves. And any adjustment we need to make, we'll do it for the sake of our children, for the sake of the church. But most importantly, for our sake, so we may be able to meet God. If you're not a Christian, when you look into that mirror this morning, you know God's told you that the only way to be saved is to do what? Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Won't you do something about your soul today? Come, let us baptize you into Jesus Christ. If you're an erring child of God, ask God to forgive you and ask God to help you. And let us all pray that we'll keep looking, examining ourselves, and making the adjustments that we need so that heaven will be our home. Friend, I don't know what week I'll die. I don't know what day I'll die. I don't know what day you're going to. And I hope it's many, many years for all of us. But I know one thing. Sebastian gave up his daddy last Thursday. He now does not have a daddy left in this world. Friend, don't leave the world unprepared to meet God. He's the best that you've ever had. Can you earnestly look at yourself today and say, I'm all right. God loves me. Yes, He does. But He doesn't love you if you're not all right. If you're subject to His invitation, come to Him. Won't you obey Him right now while together we stand?